I like to think of the devil as having two faces, and certainly there's many titles and names given for the devil in the scriptures. We hear just in the readings today the serpent and the tempter, but I refer to the sneerer and the snarler. The sneerer is the devil in all of his arrogance, the one that we encounter at Planned Parenthood or at Auschwitz or in souls and places dedicated to him and to his work, where he has been given a certain authority and power to act. The snarler is the one who tries to scare us, the one who shows up at priestly ordinations, at when a soul is converting and in the process of turning away from sin and giving their life to Christ. In many of these scenarios where we are doing something that he hates, and the snarler is a rabid dog, but he's on a short chain, or he's an angry hornet, but he's outside the window, and his inability to do what he wants only makes him all the more furious. But it shows how pathetic he really is. There's a great story of Padre Pio that one night he woke up to this tremendous racket, and he rolled over, and there was the devil, which was not unusual for Padre Pio, and he said, "Oh, it's just you. I thought it was somebody important." And he went back to bed, went back to sleep. And so in before God, the devil is a rebellious child, and that God is father to all creation, even to Satan himself, and that Satan would not exist. He would not be able to use the great gifts that he has been given against God if God had not given him those gifts. And God still, his love is constant, and so he still, those gifts are still given to him, and God's love for what he has made, for what he made Lucifer to be as this great angel of light, and that makes him absolutely furious. But that is the other side of the reality is that the salvation of souls is important, and the devil has made the many lives of people a living hell through his action in the world, or taken the lives of many people through evil ideologies. And there are things that we will not be able to explain away this side of eternity, serious things. But it is a good context to keep in mind of, as we look at the gospel today, who it is that shows up. It is the sneerer, the arrogant one. And the devil, he seems to be the one with all the power throughout most of this gospel, even though, of course, Jesus makes him go away at the end. But he is showing up in all of his arrogance and his power, and he takes Jesus up to the temple, takes him up that very high mountain to show him all the kingdoms of the earth, and he invites Jesus to share his arrogance, to view humanity as beneath him. And Jesus is not two-faced. Jesus is constant. His love is humble and enduring. And it's worth noting, how does Jesus fight him? Jesus had the power to squash him directly with his divinity, but Jesus is, in entering and sharing in our humanity, he does not do that, which is exactly what the devil wants him to do. Use your divinity, your power for yourself to make these loaves bread, that Many of our saints who have commented on this passage said that the devil was testing Jesus for his own sake as well, that he had a suspicion of who Jesus might be, but he could not quite believe that God would actually become a human being, would actually submit himself to that kind of limitation. It made no sense to him. And so he is challenging him, use your divine power for yourself, and not only for yourself, but to make people follow you. The way to men's hearts is through their stomachs, which Jesus fights later on in his ministry as well. You follow me not because you saw miracles, which would be better even than because you ate the loaves and were filled. And he takes them up to the temple. Show your power. Make them live in fear of you. And they will follow your signs and wonders, follow your power without really being converted and transformed. Or finally, the devil invites him, take my place, that all of the power that has been given to me by humanity's sin, you can take my place as prince of this world as long as you keep people beneath you. You don't enter into them. All of these temptations are shortcuts from the cross. You don't need the cross, the devil is saying. You don't need to suffer for these people. Just rule over them as I do. Leave them in their slavery. But Jesus, in his desire to set us free, he does lower himself. He does suffer and embrace the cross for our sake, which this time in the desert was his strengthening to take on that salvific mission. And so what of us when we face our own temptation? What is the easiest way to get rid of temptation is to give in to it. Then you don't have to keep fighting anymore. But if we are to follow the example of Christ, of his humble and constant love, then we come with humility and constancy before the Lord and before his power for his help. Christ does not fight the devil directly as a human being here, and it is a good reminder for ourselves that your temptations are not sins, right? So there's some here who I'm sure need to be reminded of that. You're not responsible for your temptations or how you're tempted, but that cuts both ways, that you didn't bring them upon yourself. We do in some scenarios, but you can't free yourself of them either. And so we rely in our humility on Jesus' help. And Jesus uses the word of truth, the word of God, which he is, but he uses that word from the Old Testament to speak truth into the lies of the devil. And so that is a good example for us as well, to speak those truths of who we are before God. We cannot forgive ourselves of our sins. We cannot save ourselves. Neither can we free ourselves from temptation. Nor with our penances this Lent can we strengthen ourselves. It is only through being united with Christ in our weakness and in our suffering and that we are strengthened by him. And so perhaps this is a reminder not to take ourselves too seriously, that we are not called to save ourselves, we're not called to strengthen ourselves in this Lent. But our spiritual good is a serious thing, and so that's why we have this season of spiritual training. And even as we experience our weakness and our temptation in a more intense way, as we're trying to distance ourselves from some of those comforts of life, then even our temptations can become a means to approach God, a means to bring us closer to him, that God comes out looking all the greater before the devil's fury, right? And he would not allow him to act in the world to tempt us if he was not able to bring a greater good out of that. And so we may not always see how that is, but God always brings a greater good out of that. And our own temptation can be then an occasion to proclaim our own humble confidence in our Heavenly Father, that we do not need to test his love for us, that every word that he gives us, that by which he created us and continues to recreate us, sustains us, and that the Lord is our God, and him alone shall we worship and serve.